Shabbos.
There's a lot to talk about in Parshas Kislev. A lot. I was listening to Rabbi Milstein's shiur from last night. A lot of people went to it. Very, very special. 9th graders, 11th graders. Really. Packed shiur. And it's not it's just because it's called packed parsha, but it really was a packed shiur. And there's so much in this week's parsha. Bikurim, Meiser, and of course the Teichicha. The parsha talks about terrible things. Things of nightmares. Horrible things. Things which, fortunately, we don't live in a generation that we had to see that type of stuff. Baruch Hashem. And we should never have to see that type of stuff. You know, our grandparents and great-grandparents, and some people now even great-great-grandparents, were the ones who saw that in the Holocaust. They saw terrible, terrible things. And when they read through Parshas Kisavai, and a shorter version in Parshas Bechukaisai, when they read through that, they were looking at an autobiography. They were looking at their own lives. And they saw what parents had to do for their children, what children had to do for their parents. Families ripped apart. Very terrible. People starving. Very scary. The Teichicha. Parshas Kisavai. It's always this time of year. It's set up in a way that we read Parshas Kisavai, the Shabbos before the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. The Shabbos separating Parshas Kisavai and Rosh Hashanah. It's worthwhile, if people have a chance, just to open up a Chumash and look through it. I know we're a generation of great sensitivity and also great insensitivity. It's a very, very strange mix. On one hand, we have people who are super, super sensitive. You can't tell me what to do because you're making me feel bad about myself. You can't give me any criticism. You can't tell me that I need to be better. And you can't tell me that I'm acting a little badly. You can't tell me any of that. On the other hand, total insensitivity. We read things in the newspapers. We see things, chas v'shalom, in television shows and news reports about brutal murders. And we hardly care. It hardly even registers. Sensitivity on one side towards ourselves and absolute insensitivity towards anybody else. It's a very, very scary mix. It's usually the mix of a serial killer that is like that. And nowadays, the entire culture is being trained to be serial killers. That's what we are. We're all being trained that way, to be totally selfish, sensitive only about ourselves, and insensitive about everything else that's going on in the world. I don't often quote him, but there was a chief rabbi of Great Britain, chief rabbi of England, Rabbi Dr. Jonathan Sacks, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, and he writes something, he wrote once wrote something that I read, and I found it to be very poignant. He writes that we have reached the time where most of the news that we read has nothing to do with us. That's what we do. It used to be if you came from some little village, a shtetl, some sort of small town, all the news you knew about was something that had to do with you. Your family, the mayor of the town, that's as far as it went, and people would go for years. They didn't even know that there was a new czar. Oh, yeah. Tsar Alexander died. Who's it today? Who cares? I'm not choosing the next king. I'm not choosing the next president. You knew exactly what you need to know in your own life. That was what your life was full of. And beside that, you spent most of your time raising your kids, supporting your family, and that was it. But now, most of the news that we hear, the horrible news, death, murder, destruction, and sports, and all that, most of the things that we hear about are things that have zero connection to us. Even those people who are absolutely obsessed with Instagram, Chas v'Shalom, Snapchat, any other method of social media, nobody here Chas v'Shalom, but people are obsessed It really is an obsession. It's a sick obsession. People are obsessed with people that you have nothing to do with and never will. Imagine, if you can even imagine, a person who is a fan of a certain athlete. And I was younger, who was the greatest basketball player? Michael Jordan. You're obsessed with Michael Jordan. You will never meet the guy. Never, ever meet the guy. If you met the guy, he would have hated you. He was a horrible human being. But at the very least, back then, he would have stayed on usually on one basketball team. So if you were super into the Chicago Bulls, then great. You followed it. You were into it. He was into it too. He stayed on the team. Nowadays, people are into athletes. If they got one more dollar, they would switch to a different team, usually. And you are obsessed with that team when the players on that team aren't even into their own team. They're into it as long as they're there, and then they're gone. But the obsession for things which has nothing to do with your life is what people fill their minds with. And the obsession of taking care of you and what you can do to make yourself happy, nobody cares. Spend your entire lives nowadays looking at a little box this big. I once compared it to a mushel, and I usually start with the mushel, that there was this prisoner. He was in a cell, and he was locked in. Imagine being back in the gulag in Russia. And he's locked in a cell, and he can't get out. He has no windows. He has nothing. But one day, prison guards decide that what they're going to do is they're going to make a tiny little window. A tiny little window. You know, 4 inches high, six inches wide, a tiny little window in the front of his cell. And even though it doesn't look outdoors, it looks into the lobby of the cell block. And he could look into that cell block. And okay, at least he gets to see something out of his room. And he looks in that, but the prison guard felt a little bad. So what he did is they hired some clown, some guy to come around. And in that lobby space, the guy would put on a show. And after a while, they get a little better at it. But that's all he gets. He stares at that little window. Finally, the day comes. He's been locked in prison for 20 years. And he's told he can go free. And he says, you can go now. The whole world, you can go. And he says, no. But he didn't finish. I was in the middle of looking through my little window. He didn't finish his act. Let me continue watching that act. Wouldn't you think the guy is crazy? Imagine he did go outside. He finally leaves. But then the next day, he comes back to prison and he says, I didn't get to see today's act, so please put me back in my cell so I can look at that little tiny window just to be able to see the show again. I'll stay here for 6-8 hours just to be able to look through that window again. We would all think the guy is crazy. And yet, here we are with our little prison cell window, and we look through it, and we're watching it, and watching it, and watching it for 6-8 hours, imprisoning ourselves. There's a gorgeous world out there. And what do? We spend it imprisoning ourselves to be obsessed with a whole world out there. I'm telling you, the world is training us to be serial killers, totally insensitive to everyone else, and totally sensitive only about ourselves, but without ever focusing on ourselves. It's crazy. It's scary. Rabbi Edelman this morning spoke about zehiras, awareness. We've spoken about zehiras so every day so far. Each Rebbe is speaking about zehiras, awareness, a mita that we're working on. Being aware, whether it's being aware of the value of every action. Being aware that we're not thoughtless zombies. Or being aware of the halacha and what the Torah demands of us and knowing what life is supposed to be about. The Torah trains you to be a sensitive person. If you open up a chumash and you learn Gemara, you'll learn how to be a caring person, how to be a person full of joy, and a person full of sadness. a person who's alive, a person who's emotionally aware. You learn this week's parsha. It says in the Taitecha, you know why this is happening? Because you, all the punishments, all the tragedies, you know why they're going to happen? Because you didn't fill your life with joy. Isn't that my business? It's my business. I don't want to fill my life with joy. Why is Hashem punishing me for that? Because you're emotionally dead. You're a serial killer. You're a psychopath. You're dead inside. It's so scary. Sometimes your rabbis just want to say it straight. We want to tell you the truth. And the truth is that the obsession with this small device, the obsession with Instagram, the obsession with Snapchat, the obsession with TikTok, I don't even want to keep saying this. The obsession, it scares us. It doesn't scare us religiously only. It scares us because we know that one day people are going to grow up as fathers, as husbands, as friends. And where are you going to be then? Who are you going to be then? Are you going to be the person that they made you into? Are you going to be the person full of simcha v'tayv lev, that you're going to be a person who's full of joy, who's aware? The last few people on earth who have saturated ourselves with the book of life that has taught us to be normal. Who's left? Who's left out there? Who's normal? Let me tell you what a normal person would do. This expression, it says in Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Tes Zayin, Arur Makla Oviv V'imay. Cursed is a person who belittles his father and his mother. Cursed is a person who belittles his father and his mother. That's what the Torah tells you. A person belittles his father and his mother, he is cursed. My father and my mother. What have they done for me? My father and my mother. They made me come to yeshiva today. I was at home. I was lying in bed this morning. Get up! Wake up for school! Father and mother, those people. You know when I asked them to drive me 3 hours somewhere, they refused one time? They only did it 7 million other times, but one time, they refused. How dare they? How dare they? Don't they know what I need? Don't they care about me? You know, one time my parents came over to me. I was playing a video game till 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh my gosh. And you know what my mother did? She told me, it's crazy stuff. Don't believe this story. She told me it's unhealthy to stay up till 3, 4 in the morning playing a video game. And then she said to me that you're doing something so unhealthy and you're harming yourself. So she took away my video game. She took it away from me and didn't let me play it anymore. That is sick. That is sick. You know, I only have 6 pairs of sneakers, but I saw that new one just came out. If only I would have been on my phone at that exact time, I could have bought that sneaker exactly when it came out. It would have been perfect on, and I would have gotten it, but I missed it. You know why I missed it? Because of that guy who calls me my father. I can't believe I missed it. He told me I needed to go to the doctor. And in the doctor's office, I wasn't allowed to have my phone. Arur makla oviv v'imay. Cursed is the person who belittles his parents, your mother and your father. Let's take a little step down memory lane. Yeah? What did they do for you? What did your mother and your father do for you? Well, my mother, she gave me life. So that was nice. That was nice of her. I can assure you, as a father who's been around that process of when the mother gives birth, it was not enjoyable. Rabbi Edelman, Zalig Zun Zion, his wife had a baby this week, Mazel Tov. Yeah? I can assure you, it's not like a 3-minute process that you walk into the hospital like, hey, how you doing this morning? And at the end of the day, you come home with a brand new baby. It's not exactly how it works. And then they go to the spa or something like that. That's not really what happens. That is a difficult process. And you know what happens after that? Oh, gosh. You know, a baby, when it's born, it might surprise you. The baby does not know how to use the restroom on its own. It's pretty shocking. Babies need help. Yes, your mother, your father, whoever it was, they changed you a lot. A lot. When you're born, like 10 times a day, I wouldn't know. I didn't do it myself. But my wife takes care of that. Oh my. There's a lot of changing babies. A lot of feeding babies. By the way, diapers are expensive. They're very expensive. Diapers are expensive. Baby wipes are expensive. Baby food is expensive. This stuff. Oh my gosh. And all I've done so far is tell you, baby food, I already got to 9 months after a baby is born. So this is now tens of thousands of dollars of your diapers, your baby wipes, your baby food, and oh, I forgot to mention, did I mention that your mother and father didn't sleep all that time also? And then if they had other children, they also had to make believe they were normal towards your other children? You know, maybe when you're a teenager, you can do the thing where you yell and scream at people. Parents can't just yell and scream at their kids at random. Then their kids also become sociopaths, psychopaths, serial killers and murderers and all that. So you can't do that either. So you've got to be normal a little bit, right? You got to be sane, but no sleeping for months, sometimes for years. And your mother and your father did that for you. So far, again, I'm just about 1 year into your life. If you had other siblings, there was driving, this place, that place, tuition. We have people here, 14, 15, 16, 17, almost 18 years old. Do you know how many things they did for you? Ar makla aviv v'imay. Cursed is a person who belittles his mother and his father. They've done so much for you. So much for you. If you were a sensitive person as defined by the Torah, if you were a person who didn't live in everyone else's life, obsessed with the whole world, if you focused on yourself, you were sensitive, but you focused on your own life, you would think what the Torah is telling you to think. One little thought. My mother and my father gave me life and everything else. What have I done for them lately? And when I do things for them, how many times? And you're going to pay me for that? Where's my thank you? You know, I did it last week. Is that what you're saying? You should say, I'm doing this because I can never stop thanking you. That's what you should be saying. I took out I have this mishigas. Yeah, ever since I get married, I take out the garbage. Okay, I like to take out the garbage. I take out that garbage for my wife. I never let my wife go past the door of my house with the garbage. I see her going. Sometimes she takes the garbage. She goes near the door. I said, no, 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 no. You're not allowed to take out the garbage. It's my zechus. And then as I go outside with the garbage, I sing, aha, hashreinu, matzev, kalkeinu, umanayim, garleinu. I'm a crazy person. I'm a crazy person. I take out the garbage. What are you doing for your family? You should go to the Hallmark store and you should get a box of thank you cards. You should really get a box. And in this box comes with 100 of them. And in it, you should have, first day, thank you, mommy, for my diaper. Thank you, father, for my food. Thank you, the car you drove me this morning and the last 75,000 mornings. Whatever it is. It's a lot of mornings, I got it. Think about it. You maybe want to read the book. This book has a lot of good ones. Being sensitive. Being normal. Being a person not living in his prison cell. I want you to have that in your brain. Every time you take this thing, I want you to have it in your brain. I want you to look at this, and I want you to remember, every time you're looking at this, you are sitting in a prison cell. You are looking out a this-sized hole, and you are admiring a clown dancing in a lobby. That is what you're doing when there's a huge, beautiful, gorgeous world out there. So much bigger than a tiny little prison cell. Am I allowed to say it straight to you guys? Am I allowed to say it, be honest? It's scary. Am I allowed to say that? I think I'm allowed to. My dear friends, I want to wish you a beautiful Shabbos. Filling your life with brachos, not the scary things of Marsh Kislava. Have a beautiful Shabbos!